Daniel chapter 10 tells us that it was in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that this was revealed to Daniel. Daniel chapter 10 verse 15 describes his response to the word of God and how the word of God impacted him. If we assume that Daniel was brought into Babylon as a young boy in Daniel chapter 1, in the first captivity led by Nebuchadnezzar around 70 years ago, let's say he was about 15 years old. You add 70, he would be about 85 years old. He was in Babylon. And during this period, at the end of the Babylonian Empire, at the start of the Medo-Persian Empire, Daniel prayed in Daniel chapter 9, based upon God's prophecy to Jeremiah. 70 years, Israel will be in captivity. And since Daniel's first captivity was the start of the 70 years of captivity, this means that when this vision, the word of God, and Daniel's response to it, it was during the time when thousands of Israelites, led by men such as Zerubbabel and Yeshua the priest, preparing them to return to the land of promise, to rebuild and to become a nation again. Of course, not a sovereign nation. Israel will never be a sovereign nation again until 1948 AD. Because after the Medo-Persians, there will be Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire. After the Grecian Empire, there will be the Roman Empire. And this will continue right until 1948 AD, when Israel, for the first time since the exile, will become a sovereign, independent nation again. And so God revealed to Daniel in his evening years many things about Israel. Israel will return, that's for sure, because thousands of them were packing their bags, preparing to return and to rebuild. Rebuild the temple, and then later on during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, about 100 years later, in about 445 or 448 BC, they will return to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. We can see that in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And of course, the account of Esther would also be during the same time period. Esther would occur first before the book of Nehemiah, chronologically speaking, not canonologically speaking. You have Ezra, Nehemiah, then Esther. But actually, the event in Esther occurred first before Nehemiah's return to rebuild. Daniel was given a glimpse of the future concerning Israel. He was told about what will happen to Israel, the pain and the suffering that Israel will have to endure, because that's exactly what Daniel chapter 11 was all about. And then in Daniel chapter 12, Daniel was also given a glimpse of what will happen in the last days, because in Daniel 12, we are introduced to the Antichrist, who is known as the little horn in Daniel chapter 12. And so Daniel saw a vision that impacted his people and the suffering and the sorrow his people have to endure throughout her captivity. Upon her return, Israel will not receive any independence. Israel will remain a vassal state under different superpowers. And Daniel was given a glimpse of that, because in Daniel 11, the Medo-Persians were very quickly replaced by the Grecian Empire. And in a couple of verses, God will describe Alexander the Great's death, and then it will be divided into four quarters. That's exactly what happened. Four generals of Alexander the Great divided the Grecian Empire, and then they started to rule and reign. And the two divisions that impacted Israel the most was the one in Syria and the one in Egypt. The other two across the Aegean Sea did not matter that much, because one in Syria, the other one in Egypt, what was in between? Israel. The bridge, the land bridge that linked the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere, because Egypt, you know, is in the northern portion of the great continent called Africa. And so everybody wanted that tiny little strip when it is under Egyptian control. Egypt controlled the trade routes. If it is under the Syrian control, the Syrians control the trade routes. And so it was a very important piece of land that everybody fought for. And since you are just a vassal state under the power of others, the Gentiles. God revealed that to Daniel, and Daniel was grieved to see his people being persecuted, to see his people suffering. But above all else, in Daniel 11, there was one of these Syrian kings called Antiochus Epiphanes. He wanted to march down to Egypt to punish and to defeat the Egyptian king. Now, of course, all these will be Cleopatra and so on. During that period, the Egyptian king was very smart. The Romans were rising to power, and so they sought the help of the Romans. And by the time Antiochus Epiphanes arrived, the Romans had already sent their armies and their general. And a circle was drawn around the feet of Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus Epiphanes considered himself equal to God. Epiphanes, illumination, the manifestation of God. That's how he saw himself, full of arrogance and pride. And the Roman general drew a circle around him and told him, before you decide what to do, you have to decide before you step out of the circle. You fight, you die, you stop fighting, you surrender, you don't do anything, you march back. Now, if you fight, you die. But he came to fight. He did not come to be humiliated. But he had no choice to save his own skin. And so he stepped out. Before he did, I surrender, I don't fight. And he was allowed to go back. But rumor had already reached the Jews in Jerusalem who hated Antiochus Epiphanes. And the rumor was he was dead. And by the time this guy was marching back home to Syria, he had to cross through the promised land and Jerusalem. And we saw them celebrating and dancing and rejoicing because they thought he had died. And then suddenly he appeared and he was already very angry because of the humiliation in Egypt. He took it out on the Jews. He took a pig and he sacrificed it in the holy place, the abomination of desolation, as mentioned in Daniel. Now all these were revealed to Daniel and they will occur hundreds of years after Daniel's death. But when Daniel saw this, this was the impact. The impact of the Word of God, especially when the revelation of the Word of God described the wrath of God upon His people, upon God's work, upon God's ministry. Let's see how Daniel responded, verse 15 to verse 17. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. He could not speak. He just prostrated himself to the ground. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Either an angel or God himself, someone like the sons of men, probably the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I opened my mouth and then I spoke and I said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me and I have retained no strength. He became so completely weakened that he collapsed onto the ground and his face was right flat on the ground and he just simply could not speak. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? In other words, I am so unworthy. I am just the servant of my Lord. Why would you reveal such stupendous things to me? I am most unworthy. And then having understood and seen the future concerning his people and the abuse and the persecution, he could not take it. He collapsed onto the ground, for as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. He felt as if he could not speak. He was about to die. Now, this is something strange to us. Strange to us because either, number one, we do not see this as the Word of God. That's our problem and our loss. Number two, because we are not close enough to God in terms of holiness and spirituality. Number three, we do not have Daniel's love for his own people and for the work of God and for the reputation of God, the way that Daniel had. When his people were killed by Antiochus Epiphanes, which was the vision. Of course, we know the name. The name is not mentioned there. Just God simply just used the north, the king of the north, the king of the south, the king of the north. The king of the north will be the Syrian king. The king of the south will be the Egyptian king. It will be through many different reigns because it will be over a long period of time. It does not matter the name of the person. God just simply wanted to tell us the king of the north, the Syrian, the king of the south, the Egyptian. That's all. And what they did, what caused Daniel to lose his strength and his breath and his mouth. He could not speak. He could not breathe. He could not even stand or sit. He just collapsed onto the ground because of the stupendous nature of the revelation, of the prophecy concerning God's temple, the abomination of desolation and God's people, and it sapped him of his being. We can't identify ourselves with this because we don't feel this way at all. At all. I thank God for what happened in this camp, the many who went into hospital. Imagine if they had gone to hospital in Singapore. You and I would not feel it the way that we are feeling because we are together as a family. And so when one family, one of us are sick and we went to the hospital, you know that the feeling is different. If they had been in Singapore, they experienced the same thing and they are sent to hospital. Number one, you are not aware of it. Number two, you will not feel the same way that you are feeling now. Isn't that true? Because it happened here while we are congregated together for a particular purpose that is common. That is this natural intimacy and closeness that we have because of our simple assembly for the same cause and the same purpose, to come for church camp to study. And then one, two, three, they fell ill, serious enough to be hospitalized. We pray together. We feel together. We empathize with them far, far better than if it had happened in Singapore. But to Daniel, it was not like that. He doesn't require a church camp to be together. These people were in the future. He will not see them alive. He will die soon because he was already 85. He did not even have the strength, perhaps, to accompany the thousands who make the long, long journey back to Jerusalem. From Babylon, they had to travel this arch called the Fertile Crescent, and it will probably take months to arrive. And then after that, to start rebuilding their lives all over again. Daniel did not. He will die in Babylon. These are his people in the future. And yet, because they are suffering, because the temple will be abused by this man, he responded in this manner because of the stupendous nature of the suffering revealed to him. He believed in this. As far as Daniel was concerned, by his eyes of faith, because he knew this was the very word of God, what God revealed to him, he may not be alive to see it, to experience it, but as far as he was concerned, it might as well be him being there. Because he believed that it won't take place. It is not a maybe. There is no doubt in Daniel's mind that it will not take place exactly, specifically as God had revealed to him. That's why he responded as if it had already happened. How do you feel when you read the book of Revelation? The trumpet judgments? It's our earth. This our earth of ours. One third of the oceans will turn to blood. One third of the vegetation, all the trees and all the plants and all the bushes will be burnt up. All the green grass, one third will be gone. All the fresh water, one third will be gone, turned into blood as well. Do you feel anything? It's our home, it's our earth, home in inverted commas. Your friends, your family members, your loved ones who are without Christ, you will be raptured, but they will be left behind. They are going to experience exactly what the book of Revelation described. 100 times worse than the revelation that God gave to Daniel in Daniel 11, which described his own people. There will be an abomination of desolation that will be placed in the tribulation period, the tribulation temple, theologians call it. Similar to what Antiochus Epiphanes did. Do you feel anything? Do you feel even the slightest sorrow and pain and hurt? Or you just read it as if maybe, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to be around.
And then the vile judgments will not be one-third, it will be total. The whole earth as we know it will be completely burned up and destroyed. All the oceans, all the fresh water will be turned red. If you are standing on the moon, this blue bubble will turn into a red bubble. All the land area will be turned black because all vegetation will be consumed by God, burned up. And then the wrath of God will be unleashed. There will be fire and the sun will darken and the moon will turn red. All these things will happen. Imagine the kind of suffering that the people have to endure. If you think the little haze that we experienced in Singapore was bad, this is global and this is going to be 1,000 times worse. Not just haze. With the vegetation one-third burn up, you can't imagine the kind of heat, the kind of foul smell that will emanate from the ocean with the rotting sea creatures floating on top, and you know how smelly the smell of blood can be. And it will envelop the whole earth, whereby there is nowhere you could go that can relieve you of this stench and this horrid feeling of heat, as well as the haze. You can see, it's awful. You can't even imagine what's it like. Do you feel even close to how Daniel responded in terms of sapping us of our strength, our energy, that we can't even stand up, that God would choose to reveal such a tremendous, tremendous revelation to a man just like me? Why would God show such a thing to us? What God himself is about to do, why would God want to show to us? Daniel felt so unworthy. You and I really, we bought up. We don't care. It's as if it is our right. God, you have no choice but to tell me what you're going to do. The problem with us is God did tell us what he's about to do. The problem with us is we don't believe. The problem is we do not react and respond the way that God wanted us to react and respond, which was exactly what Daniel responded. He felt a deep sense of unworthiness, and then he was completely devastated concerning what will happen to his people. You and I must understand the revelation concerning the future are not just some fortune teller telling us some maybe happening, may not happen kind of a scenario. It is God Almighty who controls the heavens and the earth telling us what he is going to do in the future to this earth. And he is not just God to us. He is our loving, caring Heavenly Father. And he is telling us, his children, because he knows on this earth all the unbelievers will not believe, because they didn't even believe his love. That's why they rejected Christ. But he hopes that his own children, whom he has left behind after salvation, will believe. You are serving me. God knows. And God is very, very happy. You are witnessing for Christ. He is elated. And that's why he tells us, so that we may not lose sight as we serve him on this earth, our goal and our purpose. That's why he revealed to us the devastation that will take place upon this earth, hoping that we will never be attracted to this world, knowing that our Heavenly Father is going to destroy every blade of grass, every drop of water, whether it is salty or fresh. God will turn it into blood and God will burn up every blade of grass, every tree. This whole earth is going to be worthless, because God wants us never, never to love him and mammon at the same time, because it is impossible. He will not receive us and bless us and accept us when we do that to him. That's why he revealed those things to us. You must first understand that we are unworthy. Number two, this is the earth where our friends and our family members, our loved ones are in it. They're going to experience exactly what God has described in Revelation. You look at them, you look at their faces. If the Lord were to return soon, next week, tomorrow, whichever day, and it will be soon because the world is already primed and prepped for it. It's already primed and prepped. All the world of this World Trade Organization, World Health Organization, the One World Church, the one, everything is already, it's one. The one world led by the Antichrist is just a breath away. And the moment that happens, we will be raptured, and then the world will only have another 7 more years to exist before what we read in Revelation will become a reality, actually even less. Because what God described in the trumpet judgment and the vow judgment will occur during this 7-year period. And then at the end of it, Christ will come down from heaven in the clouds of glory as the resurrected judge of all judges, and the world will face him. And each and every one, every goat, every tear will be sent into the place called hell. And then they'll remain there for 1,000 years. They will be emptied and resurrected and then sent to the lake of fire for eternity to be punished forever and ever. And there will be pain upon pain upon pain and gnashing of teeth without end. Now that is waiting upon everyone who is not a believer. And it will be your family members, your friends, your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your uncle, your auntie, your colleagues. How can we not react? How can we continue to live and love the world as if we are like an unbeliever? How can we live and be motivated by the accolades of man, and you go to work and you're motivated by promotion and more money, knowing that everything on this earth is going to perish? Your Heavenly Father revealed it to us because He loved us. Daniel responded with a deep sense of humility and gratitude. Lord, we don't deserve this. Why would you, my Lord, reveal to the servant of this, my Lord? Why would you talk to me and tell me all these things? I'm so unworthy. Receive the word of God with this humility so that you and I will always sit in awe as we open the Bible, as we read God's word. Always read it in awe and not as a matter of fact, no different from reading the book of man. That must never, never be our experience. The impact of the word of God on Daniel first, unworthiness. As evidenced by his lack of strength, prostration onto the ground, can't even breathe, can't even speak. Until the Lord came and he revealed the reason why. Unworthy. Not good enough to know what my Heavenly Father intends to do in the future. Why would God show it to me? He doesn't have to, but he did. And once he did, with this attitude, you'll be grateful, you'll be thankful. You'll be very, very appreciative. And that's what God wants from us. The Lord alone will strengthen us. The Lord alone will lift us up and give us the strength to continue to serve him in light of this certainty in the future. Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. He gave Daniel the strength that he needed. And then he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Don't be afraid. I'm here to help you. I'm here to strengthen you, not to hurt you. Peace be unto thee. Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior? When you live a life of holiness, you have peace with God Almighty. You have nothing to be afraid of because of Christ. You approach Him, you approach the Word in humility, in sincerity, in gratitude. God will embrace you. God will welcome you. God wants you and me to do that as we serve Him on this earth, to delight in His presence, to delight in worship, to delight in reading God's word. He wants to reveal everything to us, and he did. You know the beginning, Genesis. You know the end, the new heaven and the new earth, eternity. God has shown to us the entire vista of his plan of salvation for you and for me from the beginning to eternity. How much more do you want? This is too much more, isn't it? God wants us to respond correctly. And so, he gave Daniel the strength. Don't be afraid. Be at peace. Be strong.
when you are right with God, God will say the same words to you. God is an angry God only to those who are in disobedience. God is a merciful, patient, compassionate God to those who are in obedience, who are in repentance. And these are the ones that God loves. These are the ones that God will strengthen. These are the ones that God will use mightily for the blessing of many for eternity. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, Daniel shared. And then I said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Let my Lord speak, for you have given me the strength. Every time you open the scriptures, the Lord is speaking. We do not need an extra visions or extra dream from anywhere. The Bible is the best. Did Peter not share with us when he contrasted his experience of the transfiguration with the written word of God? He said that the Bible is the more sure word. He heard the voice of God at the transfiguration when God said to three of them, Peter, James, and John, this is my beloved son, hear him. That experience, as far as Peter was concerned, was inferior to the written word of God. Why? Because experiences, you know, is dependent upon us. And with the passage of time, experiences will fade. But with the written word of God, the word of God remains constant. The word of God is certain and sure. It does not fade. Isn't that true? That's why he said that the Bible, the written word of God, is the more sure word. Experiences, we forget. As you grow older and older, you realize that you have to grasp and you have to rack your memory to find out exactly what happened. Sometimes don't even have to go too far back. We already forgotten what happened last week. And the transfiguration experience was stupendous. But compared to the Word of God was far more certain. And every time you open the Bible, the Word of God, remember, depend upon God's strength to obey. Remember to depend upon God's strength to receive and to understand. Know that we are unworthy, like Daniel, serving the Lord faithfully for the past 70 long years, having experienced so much from God, from Daniel chapter 1 onwards. We were given a glimpse, a snippet of his life. And here, during the tail end, God revealed to him much, much more. God revealed to us far more than what he revealed to Daniel. In our case, into the new heaven and new earth. The last few moments of man's existence revealed in the book of Revelation. In the case of Daniel, he was given a glimpse of what will happen to Israel upon her return and the years that follow, right up to the first coming of Christ and into the appearance of the Antichrist, the second coming of Christ, just before it happened. We are given beyond that. We act and respond like Daniel. Of course, we don't have to prostrate onto the ground. We cannot fake it. We cannot pretend. It has to come naturally the way that it happened to Daniel. When we are not as close to God as Daniel, when we are not as spiritual as Daniel, don't pretend and falsify. Don't go start now lying on the ground. Please don't do that. Let it be natural. This was natural for Daniel. He felt really unworthy. And we have to realize that why would God Almighty reveal to us creatures what he will do in the future? And yet he did. Is that not something that you should sit down and ponder very carefully? Why would God Almighty, the most powerful being on earth, the creator of heaven and earth, will want to tell a puny, tiny little individual like me his plans for the future of his creation? Why would he tell me and reveal to me about those who will enter into the lake of fire, that there will be a place called New Heaven and New Earth with a capital city called New Jerusalem? And he described for us the nature and the size of this beautiful, stupendous, enormous New Jerusalem. The length, the breadth, the height that is as huge as half the length of the
great United States of America. That's the wall only. And that is only the capital city, not to talk about the entire new earth and how big it will be. And he showed it to us. Tiny little speck in this earth. You and me. He showed it to us. We need his strength to believe, to obey, and to serve. Serve in light of the book of Revelation. You go out back to Singapore, you go to work, you work in CBD, you look up all these buildings, never forget that these buildings all will turn into dust and ashes. The beautiful condominiums, the beautiful structures of man, stained by the sins of men, God will never let them stand. It will turn into dust and ashes. This is God's earth. This is God's world. And he gave us the privilege to live in it, and we messed it up. And God will not let our mess remain. He will have to sweep it clean, and he will have to burn it and destroy it before he has to recreate it for the Lord Jesus Christ to rule and reign in the millennium. And that's exactly what he will do. He has shown it to us. And you and I, who are disciples of Christ, children of God, will reign with Christ during the millennium. And during the period, you and I will judge angels. You will be there seated with Christ when Jesus Christ sent the chief of angels, the devil himself, into the bottomless pit. That's what it means that we will judge angels. You're not going to judge anyone in the new heaven and new earth. The judgment will all be done before the millennium. And that's God's revelation. Void of strength because we are unworthy. God needs to strengthen us. Depend upon God's strength as you obey God's word, as you look into the future and obey God's word in light of the future. Never do it based upon our own strength, our own energy. It will not work. It is a spiritual battle always. It's a spiritual battle as we prepare sermons. It's a spiritual battle as you prepare your lesson. As a spiritual battle as you teach the lesson, as we preach the word of God, as you prepare for Bible study. It's a spiritual exercise. Everything we do is spiritual because you are spiritual. And therefore, everything you touch has a spiritual value and dimension. Every word that you speak has a spiritual purpose and significance, because it has to be the word of God, which has spiritual power and strength to convict and to convert. Spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. And that's the word of God is spiritual. It's not carnal. It's not the word of man. It's the very word of God. And that's why Daniel is recorded for us, or God has recorded Daniel's reaction and response, how the word of God impacted him, so that you and I can learn and understand and appreciate and experience this too. The reverential, awesome response to the very presence of the being of God. You know that when the United States of America come to Singapore, and when they stay in Shangri-La, they will occupy the entire floor or more, I was told. You know his presence inconveniences any country or city that accommodates him. It is said that their jet planes will be flying above while he's staying below. His Air Force One will come. And then the entire journey from his Air Force One to Shangri-La Hotel will be cordoned off for him to come. And then anyone who wants to visit within the vicinity, there will be roadblocks to inspect and check every vehicle, every individual. If you happen to stay in Shangri-La while he is staying there, you want to get out. You will be checked, and every bag that you bring in will be checked and inspected, and all these processes will only take place when he is around. If he is such a powerful man, why do they need to protect him so much, actually? He's so powerful, then no need protection, right? Actually, he's not very powerful, he's very weak, you know. That's why he needs all this protection. He needs a jet plane to protect him. He needs so many people to protect him. I think you and I are more powerful than him because we don't need any protection, right? Actually, you see the inconvenience? It's just a man. A so-called man ascribed by his own people, the leader, and that nation is supposed to be a superpower nation, and so the power that it possessed was given to him by his own people, and it affects the whole world. And his power, you and I know, is puny, is nothing. It's only man-given. And you and I know how weak man is. How much more the Almighty God, whenever his word is
read or spoken. The presence of God, literally, is there. Isn't that true? When the president speaks his word, you hear his voice, he is there. In the case of God, who is spirit, when the word of God is spoken and preached, does it not mean that he is there? Yes. Because you hear his voice. Whenever the word of God is read, is preached, you hear his voice. And when you hear his voice, what does that mean? He is present. Respond correctly. You think God does not know that when the word of God is preached Sunday after Sunday, you are messing around with the little electronic gadget? You play with the phone? Calvary Jaya is right. They put in their weekly and they announce before the service starts. Switch off all electronic gadget. Literally switch off. Don't just put on silent mode. Don't just turn it to airplane mode. Switch it off. But then my Bible is in my phone. Then find and buy a proper Bible. Get a proper Bible. Don't put your Bible with those electronic gadgets whereby you will be distracted, because God is speaking. God is speaking. You want to give him full 110% attention. When God is speaking, then you can play your game or whatever. God. What do you think God is doing? You think God is blind and dead when the Bible says he is the one living and true God? His eyes can see, his ears can hear, his mouth can speak. That's the impact of the phrase, one living and true God. Don't just simply say it without understanding the fullness of that impact. One living and true God. He's not an idol. He is the one living and true God. He knows exactly how many Sundays in church where you fool around, where you did not give him full attention. He knows exactly that. But then why didn't he punish? Because he is long-suffering and patient. And if you are not even born again, remember what we did this morning? Waiting for your sins to be full, and then the end comes. Don't take the patience and the long-suffering of God for granted. Please. He knows exactly what you and I are doing, even though your mom and your dad do not. He knows whether your mind is paying full attention, even though your body may appear to be paying attention. But if your mind is wandering all over the world, everywhere except paying attention, you think God does not know? He knows what you're thinking even before you start thinking them. He knows your motive for coming to church, even before the motive is in your heart before you come to church. That's how great and all-knowing God is. And yet, he patiently, in grace and in mercy, deals with each and every one of us. Don't take it for granted as if he is dead. Fix it, repent, and come back to him and make right your life, privately and publicly. Don't just have an appearance of holiness and godliness. Let the holiness and godliness be real within us. And this is not an appearance, but it is real. It is an external emanation of the internal holiness and godliness that I have in Christ Jesus. That's what God wants. And that's why God revealed to us all these things in the future, so that you and I will distance ourselves from the world, so that your heart and my heart will not have any desire for the things of the world, just as you have no desire but revulsion for something that stink and smell like the refuse. Like the refuse. When we came in the morning on Saturday, some of them gave us some food. I think it's curry puff and char siu pao or something. So when we arrived here on Saturday, I think I did not take out the curry puff. It's still in the car. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and today is Friday. I don't want to go to my car now. My wife went there to take the umbrella and she shared with me last night because I forgot about the food. That when she opened the door and got the umbrella, because yesterday we walked to IOI and it was hot. She said that it did not smell very nice. Of course, it didn't say that word. She said that it smells. And so she forgot to put some perfume. I think the perfume or whatever, it won't help. I think you need to air it. And so tomorrow we are going to get into the car. And I think it's going to smell. It stinks. That's the kind of approach that we should have of the world. It stinks. That's why God tells us it's going to be burnt up and destroyed by fire. It stinks. Because the world is still very much attractive and Satan has masked it with beauty and fragrant and perfume. And if we do not have our spiritual eyes open, we can't see through it. We can't smell the stink that is in the world. We think that it is beautiful, it is sweet, it is delicious, it is very enjoyable and delightful. It is not. It dampens and diminishes our holiness when we love these things. It destroys our witness for Christ when we put our heart in these things. And we become a disappointment to God. We become a failure to our Heavenly Father. And we become a failure to the people around us, because what they need the most in their lives, which we know, is Jesus Christ. They need to see the Jesus Christ of the Bible, who is an amazing and wonderful and loving Savior, who died for them. That's what they need the most. And we are not doing that for them. Instead, we are doing the opposite. We are hurting them because of our carnality. God doesn't want carnality, but spirituality in us. And that's why He showed us all these things, hoping that you and I will respond the way that Daniel responded to the word of God concerning the future. Humility, unworthiness, and lack of strength. And then when God gives us the strength after we turn to Him, that strength will give us the ability and the power to fight and not to succumb. That's what Daniel was given. That's what Daniel needed. And the Bible said he was strong to listen to God's word. Strong to listen to God's word. That means to obey it and to respond correctly to it. That's what it means. The strength to listen to God's word. We don't think that way. We just think, listen to God's word. Oh, yeah, never mind. That's our problem, because it is found everywhere. It is pandemic. And since it is everywhere, we see that, well, since everybody is doing the same, then never mind. You should mind, because you should not be like everyone else when everyone else is wrong. You should be different because you are a child of God, and you should be different because you are different in Christ. Even if everybody is doing the same, if everybody wants to stink, everybody wants to say what is smelly as fragrant, you must not. Because you are a child of God and you must know the difference because of what Christ has done in your heart. You have to be different. The word of God is true. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. You see, he is now revealing to Daniel, upon the conclusion of the Babylonian Empire, at the start of the Persian Empire. You see, chapter 11, verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the beginning. He revealed to him, after the Persian, it will be the Grecian. And chapter 11 is the revelation of the two. Persian will disappear straight away in the introduction of chapter 11. The Grecian will come, and then the rest of it will be the Grecian Empire, ding dong, north and south, Alexander the Great will come, and then in a couple of verses, you'll be gone. But I will show thee that which is noted, recorded in the scriptures of truth. It is true. There is none that holdeth, there is none that sees or stand with me in these things, in what is about to happen, but Michael, your prince. In other words, this revelation that I'm given to you pertaining, it's not that there are no good angels in heaven, there are plenty. It's just that in this particular battle, in this particular revelation, in this particular account, it was the Son of Man and the angel, Archangel Michael, who stood. Now, Daniel, will you stand with us, with God, with the Archangel Michael? This is the truth. It is no lie. It is the truth. Do you believe in the truth? God is a God who can never lie. Go back and read Revelations slowly. We have studied the book of Revelation in the church. If you have not, go to the website and listen to those sermons. Get the notes. Plenty of notes on the book of Revelation. We spend hundreds of hours writing them. Use them to help you understand
so that you will have the eyes of God Almighty as you serve Him on this earth. Look at the world the way that God looks at the world, the way that God wants us to look at the world, so that when Satan dangled the world and the attractions of the world before our faces, just as he did for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord rebuked him, and so must we. So must we. That's the strength that we need. Because the Word of God is true. Don't you ever doubt the Word of God, even though everyone around you may be shouting and shouting, sure you want to believe? Are you sure you want to believe? They try to cast doubt. You must never. Satan did that to Eve from the very beginning of time. Remember Genesis 3? What did he do? The first thing that came off his mouth was, "Yea, hath God said." And that has been his refrain for the thousands of years till today. Yea, had God said, did God really say? Yes, God really said that this world will be destroyed by fire. When Jesus returns, he will be the judge of all judges. And if you are not born again, the moment the clouds of glory appear, when Christ opened the clouds of glory and he appears, the day of salvation will be over, because he comes as a savior, no longer, but only as the judge. In his first coming, he came as a savior, not as a judge to save you. But if you keep on rejecting him, you keep on not listening, then he will come as a judge and the day of salvation will be over. It's done. It's true. Don't you doubt it? Not even in the slightest. Prove that you believe in it by your life of obedience and holiness. Don't love God on Sunday and love mammon on six other days. God is a jealous God. He knows you cannot, no man can love God and mammon at the same time. Either you love the one and hate the other. No man can love both. God used a very emphatic negative. No man means no man. Doesn't matter who you are. God will not accept you if you love God on Sunday and love mammon on Monday to Saturday. You will face his wrath. Because a truly born-again believer will never do that, and he will be convicted and he will repent and he will stop that, because the Spirit of God in him will continue to vex his spirit. He will have no peace until he surrenders in total obedience. And if you are callous and you do not care, remember the four ways to hear God's word. And only one is acceptable to him. The other three are rejected. Only the good ground is acceptable. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, thank Thee, Lord, for this camp. Thank You, Lord, for bringing Your people into this camp and our loved ones and friends and family members. We pray, Lord, that the Word of God will not return unto Thee void, but that Thou will accomplish all that Thou hast purposed, that the Word of God will bring conviction and conversion upon every heart. To those who came to this camp as an unbeliever, may they leave this camp as a child of God. O Lord, may Thou be merciful to take away any and every obstacle and bring conviction to this sinner, so that the fear of God will begin in his heart and he will turn to the Savior in true, genuine, sincere humility and receive him as Lord and as Savior, as a broken sinner in need of the Savior. We pray, O Lord, for all of us who are Your children, that we have a weak view of God's Word. Forgive us. Help us to realize and understand how unworthy we are, like Daniel, that God Almighty would care to reveal His Word to us, especially what He will do in the future. Help us, O Lord, to be grateful and to be thankful. But you know that you have done this to help us live this present life in light of the certainty of what will happen to this earth. It will be destroyed by fire. And many of our family members and loved ones who are without Christ will have to face your wrath. Stir within our hearts a deep sense of urgency and compassion for them by desiring with thy enabling and thy strength to live a life of holiness, so that they will see our good works and glorify our Christ and praise him, and in turn glorify Thee who art in heaven by coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. Use Your people, O Lord, to be Your holy instrument of witness. Sanctify Thy people by Thy truth, for Thy word is truth, that we may be cleansed vessels
for thee to use at home, at work, in school, in church, wherever we are. May thou be pleased to use your sons and your daughters for the sake of Christ and for the glory of thy holy and blessed and wonderful name. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.